The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
God is a mighty deliverer. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that the anointing of the Spirit of God will come to rest upon this declaration of Thy Word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, I want to speak to you about the 10 plagues that God brought upon the nation of Egypt to set His people free today. Of course, I can't take the time to read to you from the Scriptures every one of these stories about these plagues. So I'll just read to you the first one, how God changed water into blood. For the background, Moses was sent to Egypt to set the children of Israel free from slavery. And so the leader, the king of Egypt, resisted this deliverance. And here then, God decides to bring upon Egypt 10 plagues to change the mind of Pharaoh to let God's people go. Here we are in Exodus 7, and I shall read to you, beginning with verse 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. Friend, there are a lot of Christians and some ministers who hardly ever preach from the Old Testament. I believe this is a great mistake or a great oversight. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he admonished Timothy to study the Scriptures, and by this he meant to study the Old Testament because there was no New Testament as yet. The admonition of Paul, the great Christian saint to Timothy, is, study to show yourselves approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Paul said to Timothy, study Genesis, study Exodus, study Leviticus, study the law, the prophets, and the writings. He said, Timothy, this will help you as it helped me to become a saint of God. And wouldn't you like to know what great book helped Jesus to become such a great, mighty warrior, and the book that he used to defeat the devil? Well, my friend, it is the Old Testament. Don't you think that you should read and study what Jesus read and studied? And of course, one reason why a lot of Christians give the Old Testament a low grade is because they say it's all about the law. We no longer are under the law, so that the Old Testament is no longer relevant. Friend, Jesus disagrees with you, because when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus with two disciples, it says he expounded unto them, beginning with Moses and the prophets, concerning himself. So what Jesus said is that the Old Testament is all about me. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so forth. All the books of the Old Testament, they're all about me. You see, the Old Testament is Jesus veiled. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. But the Holy Spirit takes the veil of the Old Testament so we can see Jesus clearly. As we get into the 10 plagues, we must remember that these were the means of deliverance that God used to bring His people into freedom to worship and to serve Him. The 10 plagues show us that God can deliver. They show us that God is mighty, a mighty Savior. And they show us that God is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto Him. They show us that nothing is impossible to God. He can turn water into blood. He can make frogs come out of the rivers and crawl to bedrooms and living rooms and ovens. He can make lice out of dust. He can fill the land with flies. He can afflict every man and beast with boils. He, my friend, can bring hail to strip every tree of its foliage. He can bring grasshoppers to eat up every green thing. and he can bring darkness upon the land. Oh, what a mighty God we have. And while God did all that, he put a wall of protection between the Egyptian people and the Hebrew people so that none of the plagues could in any way affect God's people, neither the frogs, nor the lice, nor the flies, nor the boils, nor the hail, nor the locusts, nor the darkness, nor death itself could come over into the camp of God's people. My friend, you're safe when you're with God. Yet we see, as the story unfolds, there are moments of great mercy displayed by the Lord God, even to the Egyptian people in the midst of all these terrible plagues that God brought upon them. So read in Exodus 9:16. It says, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to shew in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." During all this, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Let us now quickly review the background that led up to this great battle between God and the devil. Yes, you heard me right. I said between God and the devil, because in the minds of Israel, of afflicted Israel, of downtrodden Israel, of enslaved Israel, yea, out of her bowels came the Savior. And ultimately, the battle here is about the Savior. Here Pharaoh represents the devil. He's a pawn of the devil, and he would not let God's people go. The devil is the enslaver of God's people. He's a cruel taskmaster over God's people. He wants to afflict them. He wants to suppress them, to abuse them, to kill them. Yes, Pharaoh represents the devil here. So already in Exodus chapter 1, we saw the design of the devil, that is to destroy all the newborn sons of the children of Israel, that God's people would become extinct, so that the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, would not come into the world. This is a battle between light and darkness. So then, what did God have to do to begin this process of deliverance to bring his people out of the hand of Pharaoh? The first thing is that God had to find a man, it would be a type of Jesus, who would help him to set God's people free. He looked all over the world for such a man, and he finally found one in the wilderness. There in the wilderness, he found a shepherd by the name of Moses. And then he brought this man to a burning bush, a bush ablaze with fire but not consumed. And he got the attention of Moses, and then he called him to get his people out of Egypt. And Moses said, "This is too big for me. I can't do it." And God says, "Yes, you can." Then Moses said, "How can I prove to Pharaoh that you have sent me?" And God said, "Take your rod and cast it onto the ground." And the rod, my friend, became a serpent. And then he said, "Now take your hand and put it into your bosom and take it out." And as Moses did so, the hand became white as snow, as a hand of a leper. And God said, "Put it back in to the bosom." And the hand looked like normal flesh again. God said, "Do this before Pharaoh, and he will know that I've sent you." And then Moses started talking about, he said, "I can't talk. I'm not a natural talker. I'm not an orator. I'm not a speaker. I don't know how to preach." And then God said, "I'm going to help you, but I want you to go and bring my people out." And so God did something very unusual to Moses. He did something to Moses he didn't do for anybody else quite that way. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, See, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." So he's doing something to Moses that made Moses a god to Pharaoh, and that is Moses became a person who could do extraordinary miracles, who could do battle with the sorcerers and magicians of Pharaoh, who would be in league with the devil. So here we have Moses in league with God, and we have the sorcerers and magicians of Pharaoh in league with the devil, and the battle begins. Now I say to you today, don't get involved with witches. Don't you get involved with fortune tellers. Don't you get involved with sorcerers or magicians. Some of them who claim to be such are fakes, but there are many who are really attached to the powers of hell, and they can do you great harm. How much power they have is shown right here in the book of Exodus. This is our great eye-opener to the powers of evil. My friend, this was written so that God's people would know the devil is real and he has supernatural power, and that we better stay away from fortune tellers, witches, sorcerers, and magicians. Moses put his rod over the river Nile, and he stretched it in all directions so that all the ponds and every vessel that contained water in the land of Egypt, my friend, turned into blood. Now then, the magicians and sorcerers of Pharaoh did likewise. The next miracle was that Moses stretched his rod over the waters again, and the frogs came out of the Nile, and the frogs were crawling all over the place. And the sorcerers and magicians did likewise. My friend, we serve a mighty God. God can bring evil, but God can also deliver from evil. The devil can also bring evil. He does bring evil, but the difference here is that the devil cannot deliver you from evil, and he has no desire to ever deliver you from evil. Because you see, only Moses, through the power of God, could turn the blood back into water again. Moses, by the power of God, could send all the frogs back into the rivers and ponds again. How much do you think Pharaoh pled with his magicians, pled with his sorcerers to get the frogs back into the rivers, to get them out of his bed, to get them out of his oven, to get them out of his living quarters? How much do you think Pharaoh pled with Moses, with his magicians, I should say, that the blood that was in the vessels, the drinking vessels, the washing vessels, all this blood would be turned back into water again? How long do you think it took Pharaoh to plead with his men? How long do you think you'd put up with frogs everywhere in your house? And how long do you think you want to have blood in your kitchen sink and blood in your drinking glasses and your bathtub and coming out of your garden hose? I should say not more than a minute. And Pharaoh pled with his sorcerers and magicians to change things, to bring them back to the good way. But they could not. The devil cannot deliver. He can only bring evil, but he cannot deliver from evil. Yes, only God can save. And then it comes to the third plague. And Moses took his rod and stretched it out over the land, and all the dust became lice. And the magicians put out their rods and tried to do the same miracle, but it says they could not. And they said, this is the finger of God. And after the third miracle, the magicians and sorcerers quit. Dear ones, those of you, there are thousands of you, that try to get in league with supernatural powers, that try to get in contact with a power beyond your own to bring out events, I want you to know, if you want a savior, if you want a deliverer, if you want good things to happen to you, turn to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away from all these other spiritual forces and powers that can only bring evil, but they cannot bring any deliverance from evil. So, dear one, I want you to know, no matter how great of a bondage you may be in, no matter how strong the devil may have his clutches upon your life, no matter how dark your past may be, no matter how many sins you committed, there is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord, and I urge you to turn to Him and to let Him cleanse you from all your sins and then make you a child of God. So would you say this prayer after me if you want to have Jesus the Christ in your life? Say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. I'm sorry for all the evil I've done. Please forgive me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I don't know much about you, but I know you can save. I just heard you can save and deliver, so please come into my heart and take over my life right now. I receive you now, Lord Jesus, by faith, as my Savior and deliverer, and I commit myself to you. In your name, I pray, Amen. Now, as I said last week, begin to read the Bible and find a Christian, a victorious Christian, and ask him or her to help you in your newfound faith. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.